Good morning, everyone. Don't you love worship songs that are focused on the gospel and how it impacts our life? Just awesome that those songs exist and we get to sing them. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that this morning. Tony, I'm going to pick on you to start the morning out. You've got a marathon coming up. And I know you want to finish that marathon. What kind of time would you like to run that in? 3:20. How many minute miles would that be? That sounds really fast, doesn't it? 7:35 minute miles for 26.2 miles. That sounds fast. What are you doing to prepare for that? How many miles a week do you run, maybe, roughly? 40? That sounds like a lot, too. Anything else you have to do in prep for that, Tony? I'm sure if you're running that many miles, rest is probably pretty important. Probably have to kind of watch what you eat a little bit, too, making sure you're getting nourished and all of that. In preparing for a marathon, it's obvious that there are things that need to be done so you can do that and do it well. Most of us would not be able to go out and run a marathon tomorrow. We would need to train for it. And in a similar way, as Christians, we're in a marathon. It's a different kind of marathon, though. It's not a marathon that lasts a few hours, but a marathon that lasts a lifetime. It's what God's called us to do, is to be faithful in running the marathon that he has for us. And for us to do that well, we've got to be doing certain things too, that we need to be faithful in preparing to run this marathon that he has for us. We can't just go out and do it. We have to prepare for it. And that's what the message this morning is going to show us, that we need to be good servants of Jesus. We need to be good marathon runners of his. And in order to do that, we've got to do certain things. And what we're going to see this morning is that being good servants of Jesus involves good servants of Jesus are good teachers of his word. We're going to see that. We're going to see that good teachers of God's word are spiritually well-nourished and fit. And finally, we're going to look at good servants of Jesus understand that living for him is their primary race in life. As I worked with this passage this week, and it is a great gift to be able to do this. You get to spend hours digging into passages. And sometimes it comes real easy and it's real clear what's going on. And sometimes you dig into it for hours and you're still not sure what's being talked about. This was a challenging passage for me. But God, I think, has revealed to me what he really wants from this passage. And I ask that you would join me in prayer that I can help reveal that to all of us. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being able to give worth to you as we have so far this morning. Lord, it's just such a joy to come and to lift our voices up and just sing songs that remind us of the gift that we have been given and how it's impacted our lives and what it can do for us. We thank you, Lord, for that great gift. Lord, we thank you that that gift isn't just in song. It's rooted in the truth of your word. And Lord, as we come to your word now, we want to continue in worship. So reveal yourself to us. Reveal your truths to us that we can see them, Lord, and we can respond to them faithfully and that we can live our life and run this race that you've marked out for us in the ways that you would have us to, so that it would glorify your name, and as you're going to show us this morning, so it can bless us abundantly, and that we can be a blessing to others. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Through our study of this letter of 1 Timothy so far, we've learned that false teachers had made their way into the church, and these false teachers were causing great damage. That these false teachers were sharing their own man-made ideas and thoughts or that from somebody else. And these were creating controversies and arguments. These false teachers were sharing junk instead of the truth of God's word. And Timothy was sent there to put a stop to these guys and the junk they were spewing out, and to share truth. Truth that would get the believers back on the line of God's truth, not above or below it, but in line with it, that would lead them to love God and to love others. We've also been reminded in the last few weeks that as the household of God, we must be faithful because we are the church of the living God, that we are the pillar and buttress of truth. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, we are to shine like stars as we hold on to and we hold out the truth of God's word. That's what we've kind of gone over so far. That's just a real brief general overview that leads up to our passage today. And our first main point that we're going to look at is good servants of Jesus are good teachers of his word. And this begins in verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. These things here refers to what Jed shared with us last week concerning the need to be spiritually aware in the church. But these things also include all the things that Paul has written so far. And these things include all of Scripture, Scripture as a whole. That's what is being talked about here. And why is it so important that Scripture as a whole be shared with the church? Well, we've shared this many times. Just let me do a real quick review of what some of the value and blessing of God's word is. First of all, it leads us to salvation. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It helps us walk in holiness. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It equips us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for all kinds of things so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God guides us in our life. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And lastly here, the word of God protects us from so much of the trouble and corruption that surrounds us. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So these verses and many others make clear that it's the word of God that brings spiritual life to us and allows us to live life to the full the way God created us to live. It's the word of God that does that. So continuing on, he's to share the word of God. He's to share it with the brothers. Brothers here means brothers and sisters, young and old. It's everyone in the church family. He is to put these things before the brothers. He is to teach. He's to share these things. That's what's being said there. And if he does that, then he will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. So this is shared right up front. And it's also shared in the last verse in this section today. Command and teach these things. So we're starting and finishing with the same thing. Share the word of God, and you'll be a good servant. So here's the image that God's word is trying to create in our minds with this verse 6. Imagine a mother giving this to their child as a meal. Good idea? The child might like it, but it's not going to be good for the child, is it? It is junk food, isn't it? Rather than giving our children junk food that's, in a sense, going to poison their bodies and make them ineffective, as parents, we're to give our children nourishing food that's going to make them healthy and function well. In the Ephesian church, false teachers had gotten in and they were sharing with the church spiritual junk food. And it was poisoning the church. It was harming the church. And again, Paul was encouraged Timothy, go there, put a stop to that. And in its place, feed them nourishing meal, the word of God. especially the gospel message. That's what Paul was instructing Timothy to do. So he's directing this here. We see this is being directed to Timothy as a leader in the church. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. So there is applications for us leaders in the church. We are to put before God, for the church, the very word of God. That's what we're being encouraged to do. And that's why in this letter we've seen so far that there were qualifications for elders. That's why Paul wrote those things. He wanted to make sure the people that were serving as the leaders in the church were sharing the word of God faithfully, not just with their mouth, but the actions of their life as well. It's why we're going through the elder assessment process right now, to further ensure that the men that are leading this church are leading faithfully, that we're living our lives faithfully according to the word of God, and we're faithfully sharing that word from here because it's so important. And one of the greatest things that we can share is the central and the most nourishing part of the word of God is the gospel. And we will continue to focus on that as a church. So is verse 6 only limited in application to church leaders? No. There's more application for us this morning because notice it doesn't say that you will be a good elder if you do this or you will be a good leader. It says you will be a good servant of Christ if you do this. And what did we see a few weeks ago about servants? We saw that everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is a servant. Here's a passage that reinforces that from Luke 22, 26, and 27. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. Jesus came as a servant, and all of us who follow him are to be his servants, and good servants share the word of God. And you may not see yourself as that, but you should. Every one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are to be good teachers of his word. Where does that apply? How about in our marriages? As we interact with our spouse, as we try to spur each other on and encourage one another, how can we best do that spiritually? With the word of God. And not just with the words that we speak, sometimes much more powerfully with the word of God being displayed in the action and example of our lives. That's what we're called to do as couples with each other. But not just couples, are we? What about with our children? Are we not to train them up in the word of God? Do parents not need to be teachers of God's word? They do. So as we do that, as parents, as you are sharing the word of God with your children, you are being a good servant of Jesus. And that's what he's calling us to do. Brian and Beth stood up here last week and they committed to sharing the word of God in Emery's life and in their other children's life. Because again, that's what we're called to do as parents. And not just as husband and wife and not just as parents, but how about to each other? Are we to speak the word of God into each other's lives? Absolutely we are. In many different ways. Again, to encourage and spur one another on. And if necessary, God's word says to correct and rebuke one another in love with his word. It's a form of loving one another. And what about to the world out there? What about to others who may not know Jesus? Are we been called to share God's word with them? Absolutely we have. Especially the gospel message that brings life to somebody. We're to be called to share all of this. So as we interact with people, we can share a lot of different things with people, can't we? If we're just sharing our own opinions or our own thoughts or we're just sharing empty, meaningless conversations with people, we're not adding any spiritual benefits to their life. And I'm not talking about everyone we run into, we just got to start flying off with sharing scripture verses with the people. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about us being faithful. as we have opportunities to interact, whether it's our spouse, our kids, each other, or others, that we would just be faithful in sharing God's word with others as he leads us to. Because it's the word of life that leads us into a relationship with Jesus Christ and allows us to be the people God created us to be. That's what God's word does for us. And what he is encouraging us to do is to share that, to be good and faithful servants of Jesus. So, some of you are newer in the faith, and maybe some of you have more difficulty in retaining God's word. Is there still a way you can be a good servant by being a good teacher? There is. Just lead other people to God's word. Maybe that's inviting them to a worship service where God's word is being proclaimed. Maybe it's inviting them to a Bible study. Maybe it's inviting them to come to see someone else who can share God's word with them. If you do that, you are being a good servant of Jesus. Remember Jesus' final words before he went up to heaven. He shared these words with his disciples. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We are to share God's word with each other and with others. So, how are you and I doing in being good servants of Jesus by being good teachers of his word? How are we doing? Are we being faithful? Are we sharing God's word the way he wants us to share it? And listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying, are you sharing God's word like I share God's word? I'm not to share it like you, and you're not to share it like me. You're to share it the way the Lord wants you to share it. And that's what he wants for me as well. Are we being faithful? In the opportunities God gives to us, are we being faithful with taking those opportunities and trying to interject God's word into those opportunities? That's what he's asking us. That's what we're being encouraged in these verses. How are we doing? If you're like me, you want to do this, and you're striving to do this, but you know you can do it better. If you fall into that category, God's got some more encouragement for us this morning. So let's go on to the second main point that he has for us. Good teachers of God's word are spiritually well-nourished and fit. In other words, in order to be a good teacher of Jesus, we must first be nourished on his word, and then we must be diligent in exercising our faith. That's what this point is going to show us. And it begins and it goes from the second half of verse 6 through verse 9, beginning with this: being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. So, being trained here, this Greek word for being trained can also be translated as being nourished. Being trained, being nourished in the words of faith, in the words of God. Taking it into your life is what is being talked about here. And for Timothy, we know from Scripture that he had been trained and nourished by his grandmother and by his mother and by his church in Lystra, his hometown, and then further by Paul and those who would have been with him as Timothy joined them on the second missionary journey of Paul. And we know, too, Timothy would have spent a great deal of time on his own in the Word of God. Timothy had a steady diet of God's word in his life, and that prepared and equipped him for the work that he was now facing. So good servants of Jesus are good teachers of the truth, and therefore they must first be good students. If we want to be good teachers of God's word, we've got to be good stewards, students. You know, a lot of times we want to take shortcuts, don't we? We want to be good teachers of God's word, but we may not want to be good students, putting the time in that's needed to study God's word. We're being called here to do that. And this is very similar to what Paul wrote later in his second letter to Timothy in 2:2. It says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Who's qualified to teach others? Reliable men and women. Who are reliable men and women? They are those who know the word of God and who are living it out in their life. That's what's being talked about here. So, what are we doing to grow in the knowledge of God's word? Question for every one of us this morning. What are we doing to grow in the knowledge of God's word? Are you coming to church? And if you come, are you listening to the messages? As I look around this morning, I see a whole bunch of people engaged in God's word. And that's a great encouragement to see. But what else are we doing? Are you involved in any kind of Bible studies? Are you, and maybe most importantly, are you spending time daily in God's word? Remember, the best way for a lot of people to learn is one-on-one instruction. And the greatest instructor we have in our life is God himself. And when we go to his word and we ask for his help and insight and understanding, his word, he'll give that to us in his way and in his time. Are we doing that? Are we making the most of those opportunities? Are we nourishing ourselves on the word of God? Now, I know there's some among us that are not good readers, and it's okay. Every one of us have strengths and weaknesses, don't we? All of us are different in different ways. And if you're not a good reader, there are a bunch of different things out there that will read God's word to you. There are free apps you can download on your phone that will read God's word to you in all kind of different translations. There's things that you can buy in CDs and other things that read God's word to you. So if that is a struggle for you in reading, then listen to the word of God. Maybe that's in your car as you're driving or in some other way, but what are we doing to take God's word into our life, to be nourished on it? That's that's the challenge and question here. So to be a good teacher, we must first be spiritually nourished on the word of God, and then continuing on in verse 7, being trained and nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. More literal translation of this is have nothing to do with godless ideas or old women tales. A good servant of Jesus must not only be trained or nourished in the God's word, but they also must reject untruth. And so it's really clear what's being said here. Get the spiritual junk out of your life. If you've got spiritual junk in your life, get rid of it. That's what we're being encouraged with here. If we go into a grocery store, do a lot of the things in the grocery store today tell us how nutritious it is and how healthy it is for us and that it's full of vitamins and iron and all good things to us? And those messages are wanting us to think in our mind that if I take this in, it's either going to be good for me or at the minimum, it's not going to hurt me. Is that true? Are all things in grocery stores good for you that are labeled as that? They're not. In the same way, there's a lot of things in our world today that are labeled as spiritual and religious and Christian that are spiritual junk food that are just going to poison us. And we have to be on guard. We have to be discerning with what we're taking in. And so a question for us this morning, are we being discerning? If you're venturing outside of the word of God for spiritual nourishment, are you being discerning that is something that is good for you? Or is it poisonous? Are you being like the Bereans? And the Bereans, as Paul went to them and as he shared the word of God with them, he said this, he commended them because he said, now the Bereans examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Do you know what that means? It means the Bereans didn't care that Paul was labeled an apostle of Jesus Christ. They didn't just go by that and say, okay, whatever this guy says, go. They listened to what he said. They went to Scripture. They made sure what was in Scripture aligned with what he said, and then they accepted it. And they were commended for that. And that's what God would have us to, too. Are we being Bereans? Are we being very careful with what we're taking in? Is there anything in your life that you're taking in now, spiritually, that you're not absolutely certain that it is rooted in, directly tied to the Word of God? When Nance and I first became Christians, we started filling ourselves with some stuff. It was labeled Christian. It looked good. It sounded good. And it was poisonous. And by the grace of God, there were others that came alongside of us and helped us to see that that was bad for our life because it wasn't rooted in the Word of God. It was worldly, fluffy stuff that sounded good but wasn't truth. And so, again, the question for all of us this morning, do we have anything like that in our life potentially? If you have something in your life, whether it's a book or a TV preacher or anything else that is feeding you spiritually and you're not certain it is good and healthy and completely rooted in God's word, then ask. Come and ask. Ask one of the elders. And if we don't know for sure, we'll help you find out. Because it is so important that we're taking in the Word of God and not something labeled as God but isn't God. Good teachers of God's Word are good students first as they are nourished on God's Word and as they get rid of the spiritual junk from their life. And then going on in verses 7 through 9 where we see, rather train yourself for godliness. For while the bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. So here we have another word, train. It's a different word than the word train used in verse 6. In verse 6, that train had to do with nourishing our bodies. Here, this word is the Greek word gymnasio, where we get the word gymnasium. This has to do with exercising our faith. So we need to take in the Word of God, and then we need to exercise our faith if we want to be good teachers of God's Word and if we want to be good servants of Jesus. We need to exercise our faith that is then going to allow us to become godly, to live our life the way God wants us to live. And so just as the marathoner is preparing to run his race, needs to train, so do we. As Christians, we need to train. As we take in God's Word, we do God's Word. Marion shared that verse this morning, and I believe I have it in mind as well, James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Just hearing the word of God and doing nothing with it does nothing. Helps us in no way spiritually. So we need to be doers of the word. Vince Lombardi, famous NFL football coach, very successful, said this to his players. Gentlemen, we're going to relentlessly chase perfection. knowing full well we will never catch it because nothing is perfect. But we're going to relentlessly chase because in the process we will catch excellence. I'm not remotely interested in just being average. I like that saying because I think it very much aligns with the Word of God. I think God is saying to us, I want you to strive for holiness. I want you to chase perfection, knowing you're never going to achieve it this side of heaven. But as you chase perfection, as you strive for holiness, you're going to become excellent. You're going to become godly. You're going to exercise your faith. And that's going to position you to be used of God in the way He wants you to be used. So when we're nourished in God's Word and we're being diligent in exercising our faith, we're well positioned to help others. But there's more to it than that. As we see in verse 8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Okay, so it starts out, for bodily training is of some value. This is talking about physical training. Is physical training of value? What does physical training do for us? Makes our bodies more healthy. What else? Makes us stronger. Anything else? Clears the mind. It helps us to think more clearly. Good. Anything else? Builds endurance. Makes us more flexible. Okay. Okay. Gives us more confidence. It helps us in many, many different ways, which are great. And you know what this verse is saying? As great as that is, when we're spiritually nourished and trained, it doesn't begin to compare to the physical things you can get from physical training. That's what it's saying here. It says here towards the end of what's underlined, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. As we're nourished on the Word of God and as we're faithful in exercising our faith, as we have opportunity to share the Word of God with others, as we have opportunity just to love others the way God wants us to love us, it says in this verse, it holds promise. What's that mean? It holds promise. It holds the promises of God. In this present life and also for the life to come. So as we're being faithful, what promises of God do we receive in this life? Anybody? What promises of God do we receive in this life as we're being faithful? We have peace and all the fruits of the Spirit. Good. What else? We have help from the Holy Spirit. Keep going. He's always there for us. Keep going. What other promises has God made for us right here and right now? Transform our heart. Okay, we've got a new heart. He's going to lead and guide us. Okay, we're a work in progress, but He's working on us. He's going to complete that. What else? He healed us. He forgave us. What else? Comfort us. Okay. Okay. Assurance. He's given us assurance of all of these things and more, including eternal life. We have that now, don't we? According to the Word of God, we're already enjoying our eternal life. We're part of the family of God. We're heirs to His kingdom. Those are things that He's given us now. What about, it says, and promise for the present and also for the life to come? What still awaits us? What has God promised that we're going to receive yet when we leave this life and go to heaven? Crown, eternal life. What else?
We're going to see Him face to face.
We're going to go face to face with God. I don't know what that'll be like, but It'll be amazing. What else? What else do we get? We worship him forever. New bodies. Okay, whatever he has is ours. Whatever?
A mansion.
A mansion. New home in heaven. Bill's got a mansion. And as great as Bill's mansion's going to be, we can't imagine how great it's going to be, can we? What else? What's that?
Daily instructions,
okay. No more sin. What else no more of? No more flat tires. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more sin. No more junk. Only wonderful things. And again, God's word says we can't begin to imagine how good it's going to be. That's what God's word is saying here. Not only are we positioned to be well equipped to teach others if we take in his word and we live it out faithfully, but we're going to be blessed now and forever according to his truth. Verse 9 then says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. These words of God are true. They're genuine. They're valuable. Mercer County slang, we might say, you can take it to the bank. We can believe it. God's word saying, live it. Our third and final truth for today's passage. Good servants of Jesus understand that living for him is their primary race. And we see this in verse 10. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially to those who believe. And Paul's just reminding Timothy here, and God is reminding us, this is what we were created for. This is what we're called to. To live our life the way God wants us to live. It says at the end here, especially to those who believe. It gets a little bit confusing that Jesus is our Savior. He's Savior to all people, especially to those who believe. This word especially can also be translated in other words. So who is the Savior of all people? In other words, of those who believe. Jesus is the Savior of all of us who believe. Again, we were created in God's image to display him. We've been called to love God with all we have and to love others around us. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is by being nourished on the Word of God and by exercising our faith so that we're ready to live and to share the Word of God with others around us. Whether that be our spouse or our children, whether that be our neighbors or our friends, or anyone else we come in contact with, we're positioned to share with them the life-giving Word of God. That's what's being shared here. I want to close with this. If we have faith in Jesus, we are in a spiritual race. And it is a marathon. It's going to last for the rest of our lives. For some of us, we're pretty close to the finish line. But really, for every one of us, before we know it, we're going to be crossing that line. And that is going to be awesome. When we arrive home in heaven, our true home, and we're with the Lord, and we're with fellow believers, that is going to be more awesome than we can realize. But as we've been reminded today, some of the richness and some of the reward of that experience as we cross the finish line is tied directly to how we're running the race now. As we run the race that God has for us, we're to run it in the way he has for us. And if you've ever noticed in a marathon, all the runners have a number right here plastered on their chest. It's to show them that they are truly one of the runners in the race. It's to identify them. If we're in this race that we're in because we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have something else. We have Jesus in our heart. And he's working. And we just have to allow him. And as we've been talking about the last several weeks, one of the things that we just need to continue to do faithfully is, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Just allowing Jesus to always be the Lord of our life. Whether that's whether we study or not, whether that's with, whether we share with someone else or not, that we be faithful in doing what the Lord wants us to do. So that we too, as Hebrews 1:12, 1 and 2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's my final encouragement, God's final encouragement to this morning. Let us run with perseverance the race that he has marked out for each one of us. Let us fix our eyes on him. Let us keep setting him apart in our heart as Lord and run faithfully. Lord, we thank you and praise you. You are so good. We thank you, Lord, for your word that just keeps drawing us back to you and to your truths, especially the truth of the gospel message. All these wonderful things, Lord, that has given us life and given us instructions and directions for how we are to live life the way you want us to live it. So, Lord, just continue to help us to run this race that you've marked out for each one of us, to run it the way you want us to run it. Lord, our steps, the length of our steps, the kind of stride we have doesn't have to look like anybody else. It's what you want for each one of us. May we be faithful in that, Lord. Whatever you're impressing upon our hearts today, however you're speaking to each one of us, may we just respond to that according to your will. May you continue to be glorified. And Lord, we thank you as we are faithful. You bless us so abundantly now, and so much more blessing is awaiting us. And Lord, we also just want to continue to be a blessing to others. We thank you for your help in doing that, Lord. We praise you in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.